Alright, can I get everybody's attention? We're about to start. Everybody, this is Mark Wallager. He's the chair of the VSC board, and he's here to answer everybody's questions about the board's thinking on it.
Okay.
So, the floor to you.
Alright. Thank you all for coming today. And thank you, Michael, for inviting me to do this. I do want to say from the outset, I'm going to say a few things by way of introduction. Also, I do want to say that I'm here to answer as many questions as I can. If I can't answer them, I'll take note, find out the information, and find a way to disseminate it to you. The best use of our time is probably not spent in trying to persuade me personally of anything. The best way to do that is through the website, where you'll write and we'll go to all the board members, because all the board members are going to go over all the information and arguments. That's why we started this process, okay? So impassioned statements will be gratifying to make, I'm sure, but they're best put on the website. All right. I want to make a few points under two headings. The first is the relation of WRVU to VSC, the Vanderbilt Student Communications, and the second is about the financial picture, because lots of information has been circulating about that, some of which is inaccurate, some misleading, and I'll see if I can clarify some of that. Right, the first thing about WRVU, as I'm sure most of you know, part of this larger organization that is Vanderbilt Student Communications. And that's a nonprofit organization run by the board, independent of Vanderbilt. I happen to be chair this year. Next year it'll be a different faculty member chair. 5 student voting members, 3 faculty voting members. And our perspective on this whole situation is understandably necessarily very different from yours, assuming most of you are DJs, maybe other listeners, in that our job as board is to look at the long-term big picture of this and to see WRVU in relation to all the other media outlets that VSC oversees, all of which we're responsible for. We have a fiscal responsibility as well as a sort of stewardship responsibility to take care of all of these equally. Those include, besides WRVU, as you know, The Hustler, Inside Vandy, Orbis, The Torch, Vanderbilt TV, Vanderbilt Review, The Slant, and Commodore Yearbook. All right. So there's that. Now, the financial part of it is related to that. Let me say a few things about that. There's been a lot of emails and information about, say, the annual cost of running WRVU. And I can address that while also explaining that that is not primarily what's at issue here. What we're really talking about is the revenue stream for all of VSC, not just for WRVU. All right, I'll explain that. We can talk more about that. But the annual operating expense associated with broadcasting is about $15,000 a year. And I can break that down if you want. It has to do with renting the tower, the engineer, and dedicated lines. So there's that figure. The actual cost of running WRVU is substantially more than that. That's just WRVU's percentage of shared costs of renting and so forth. Because we're not a Vanderbilt organization in some fundamental sense, we're an independent organization, we rent the space, for instance, here at Surratt, $50,000 a year is that kind of expense. All right, so I want to talk to you about where the total money comes from for VSC and WRVU. The annual budget projected for this year is about $900,000. Okay. 47 to 48%, so just under half, comes from activity fees. That's money charged to the students per year. And that comes to all of VSC, and that gets distributed amongst the different organizations. Okay. Now, in the recent past, say last year, the percentage of revenue coming from print advertising, that's the next biggest thing, that's 33%, so about a third. It used to be the other half of the operating budget came from print revenue. But I'm sure you all know print revenue is sinking fast, newspapers are dying, real problem there. So revenue is shrinking there. The next biggest thing, believe it or not, was yearbook sales, which in the past accounted for up to like 20%. Last year it was projected to be 14% of the total budget would come from selling the Commodore yearbook. For whatever reason, students don't want to buy the yearbook anymore. I don't know if it's because of Facebook or things like this, but we're now projecting to get 8% of the total budget from selling yearbooks,
Maybe that'll level out, maybe it'll go down further.
So, simple fact, there is a declining revenue stream. So the question becomes, how do we make up that lost revenue over the long haul to ensure the stability and ongoing welfare of all Vanderbilt student media? Access fees, the ACT fees, they can't be raised enough to compensate for this lost revenue. Vanderbilt Media can't be sucking up that much of activity fees. Presumably it can go up a little bit, but not enough to cover all of this. So then it turns to what else can we do to raise money? The radio station and VSC, more generally, has made efforts to raise money, alumni donations and so forth. That's largely been a failure. We did get one $10,000 donation over the last couple of years, totally anomalous over the last couple of decades. So that really hasn't worked. Not to say it can't work in the future, but it hasn't worked to date. Also, because we're an independent organization, we don't get a penny from Vanderbilt apart from those activity fees, which really are coming from the students, right? So alumni donations don't come our way. That's not a possible source of revenue unless VSC and or WRBU find successful ways to get money from people, to donate money. All right, so then we come down to the one asset that WRBU owns, which happens to be the radio broadcast license. Now, one can imagine a world in which we owned a different asset, like a TV broadcast license. If we had that, we'd be considering selling that in a time of declining revenues, asset reallocation. So what happens, the one thing we have is the radio license, which we estimate we might be able to get, say, $5 million for, don't really know. Okay? That money would then be taken and used in an endowment model, put into an endowment, would generate annual income. That income would be used to support all of Vanderbilt student media, not just WRBU, but everything. Okay? So that's part of the big picture. A few more things to say about this. One is that if we were to stop the broadcast over the air by next year, say, it would be an annual savings of, say, that $15,000 I mentioned. I personally would be in favor of dedicating that money to WRBU. It's savings because WRBU switched formats. The board would have to vote on that. I can't say why people would vote against that. Obviously, I can't promise that one person on the board. So that money, I think, could be dedicated to WRBU. There'd also be more income coming in from the endowment, which could also go to WRBU in various ways to promote the station. All right, now, the only media within VSC that generates any surplus is the Hustler. That's where the print advertising money comes from, right? I said that's going down. So in the past, Hustler revenues have been building up, and that gives VSC a reserve fund. Now, over the past decade or so, VSC has put $150,000 to $200,000 into WRVU, including Studio C out here, which you've seen. We also, a couple years ago, had to replace a transmitter, which cost $100,000. That money comes from VSC reserve funds, and all that money historically has come from the Hustler. And that model has worked for a long time, and would continue to work for a few more years into the future. The question is, how long would it work? And when that stops working, because advertising revenues have gone down to such an extent, what do you do then? If you wait too long to sell the radio license, it might no longer have any value. Certainly, its value is going to go down. That's all the evidence is pointing that direction. And so what the board is looking to do is just explore, what would this be like? What kind of money could we get? What could we do with it? And it hasn't made a decision to do it. I know there are various theories out there. We must already have been in contact with people who want to buy it. That's not the case. We kept this a complete secret in order to keep the information, to control the flow of information. Michael, as you may know, was not made a part of any of this, and that was because we didn't want Michael, for instance, last year, sitting in meetings with the staff, knowing something he couldn't tell you for business purposes. You can't get the information out there if you're actually ready to field offers and think about what you're going to do with. We also wanted Michael to be in a position to really just say, I am against this, I'm going to help organize against this, and do what he's doing now.
And I think this kind of conversation we're starting today is important. That's why it's an open-ended process. And let me see. Okay, so just to sum up before taking questions, the board, by its very nature, if you read the bylaws, which are on the website for you to read, it's our responsibility to be thinking long-term, what can we do for Vanderbilt Student Communications? One last thing I'll address is I know there's some back and forth. Oh, on the one hand, they're saying it's because students don't care about radio. On the other hand, they're saying it's for money. Well, it's kind of both those things in the sense that if all Vanderbilt students, and that is the primary purpose of the radio station, is to provide a service to the students, if all Vanderbilt students were listening over the air and were angry about not having over the air, that would give us some pause. Given the fact that the transition to online will not really affect the Vanderbilt student undergraduate population that much, that's an enabling condition to think, well, should we go ahead and think about this more? And the second thing is, we need the money. And this would be a way to do it. It would be a way to protect WRBU long term. It would be, a way to protect all Vanderbilt media long term. Okay? So that's what I want to say to start. And I'm here to answer as many questions as I can. Yes?
Okay, when was the decision made that you would seek out information about this change?
The decision to make this announcement?
No, the decision to look into selling the license.
Right, right. That's what I mean by the announcement. That decision was made last spring near the end of the board meetings. It was discussed all last year during the board meetings. And it's been kicked around for years prior to that and never became the foremost thing on the agenda because other things came up. But also, it's become more pressing financially. So the decision was made to investigate this last spring.
Can you explain again why it was not publicized? I don't really understand.
At the time?
Yes.
We didn't want to make an announcement in the spring when we made this decision, when all the students are leaving campus. Right? That would be like the smart PR thing to do. Let's wait till everyone's gone, do this over the summer. We did not want to do that. We wanted everyone back here. We wanted all the board back here. The board had a thing to do for the summer because we knew as soon as the information was out there, people were going to be approaching the board about the questions, right? And no one's going to be around to handle it. No one's going to be around to negotiate if it comes to that with offers. So let's hold it off to the fall. It would have been actually even earlier this fall when I was out of town, so we pushed it back.
But you said that you had been discussing it quite a while before you even made this decision. Thus,
yes.
I would think that you could have said something in the spring with plenty of time for the students to still be around and have a reaction to it. And I think that it would have been much more fair to tell Michael about it. I don't understand your rationalization there. I think that it would have been better to just tell about it immediately.
Okay. I understand the statements, not really a question, but I'll, let me respond to it, is that A, we didn't tell Michael for his own protection because I think that would have been bad to have him in his equivocal position getting it from both sides, which is what happened to Michael with last fall's decision about camping the DJs. The thing about releasing information, actually there wouldn't have been time. The students were going to exams. We took a long time agonizing over this. And to just announce it when everyone's leaving campus would not have been good. And for business reasons, you don't announce something like this until you're prepared to deal with the consequences. And that's not till the fall, but everyone is reassembled here.
Are we a business?
We're a corporation.
We're a nonprofit corporation.
We're a nonprofit corporation which wants to sustain itself. We're not in it to make money. We're in it to keep doing what we're doing. There was a question in the back here.
So why has SaveWRBU.com and SaveWRBU.org already been registered and now linked straight to BSC?
Right.
Yeah.
This is not something that I'm happy about. I'll tell you about this. I got a question about this Friday morning early from a lawyer in Clearwater who's unhappy about the decision. And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I came in and talked to people here, and I was reminded, I still don't remember it, but this was done and the board was told about this. And the rationale given was, we don't want
opposition.
No, because we know there's Facebook and everything else. See, this is why I think it's a bad idea, because if I were you, I'd think, those bastards, they're doing this to try to usurp our opportunity to organize.
That's exactly what we're thinking.
And that's what I would think, too, which is why, if I had been fully on the ball, I would have said this is a bad idea. The people who did this, did it because they thought this is a way to ensure that people put their comments on the Vanderbilt website. Because honestly, and that is a legitimate point of view, but I can see why you would take it differently.
Who are the people who did this?
And I wouldn't have done this.
Yes,
when you say the people who did this, do you just mean the VSC board?
It would be, no, it was the staff.
What staff?
I have to double check on that. I assume Chris Carroll will take full responsibility for this, and so would Jim Hayes, right? And the fact is, your ability to organize is not being inhibited at all. So I think this could be a real distraction to what's most important.
If it's not being inhibited at all,
excuse me.
Give us back the
evidence. Let me finish, please. And there is a legitimate concern here that all the statements made here, please do put them on that website, okay? That's the most important thing now. What can you do now to make yourself heard? This is one way, but the most effective way to reach all board members is going to be through that website. Okay? And so that's to answer your question.
Okay, I have a question. Since we're trying to generate more revenue, where's like the possibility of like pledge drives ever considered? I mean,
well, see, again, it's not a question of raising the amount of money, say, that it costs to do the broadcast, the $10,000 to $15,000. We're talking about enough money to endow all of student media in a time when revenues are declining. And so pledge drives would be a possibility, fundraising would be a possibility. We're talking about, though, getting millions of dollars. And if that can be done in a different way, God knows, if some people stepped up, some wealthy Vanderbilt alumni, and said, we can't stand the idea of this going away, we're going to give you an endowment. Hell, then we just keep everything.
Okay. I mean, is there no other way that you can generate millions of dollars besides taking us off the air? I mean,
not that we have figured out. If you guys come up with a better way,
I mean, taking us off
I'd
the
love
air,
to know.
We're not a radio station anymore. You know, I wanted to be part of this organization because I wanted to be on the radio and I wanted to be a radio station.
I understand.
And if we're not on the radio, it almost feels like, what's the point? And like, I'm training director, so I worked really, really hard to get a bunch of people interested in the radio season, and I did a good job. Like, I did a really good job.
You got like 76 people. I think that's great.
Like, and some of them are here, and thank you so much for coming. I wasn't expecting you guys to come. It was great.
Yeah.
And so it almost feels like I got all these people in, and now it's sort of like, sorry, but this is not.
It's not going to be the same as we thought. That's true, and I'm sorry about that. And I'm not going to pretend, and the board would not pretend, that we think this would be no change. On the one hand, I can say I think this is true, that WRVU will continue in a different form, but it will be a very different form. It will be online, and there's a loss involved with that. That's true. It's online radio instead of broadcast radio. And if we can find a way to do both as we're doing now, that is the desirable, ideal thing. I agree with you completely. Okay, some other hands are going to appear here and then here.
Yeah, it occurs to me while we're talking about when we bring up the pledge drive option, if it's possible to make RVU self-sufficient and run at our own cost through pledge drives, I don't see why that's not an option, because I understand that you're responsible for the scope of Vanderbilt Media, but
yeah,
this feels like scavenging RVU to support everyone else. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely what it feels
like. I think I'd probably feel the same way. Let me just try to describe it a different way, because long-term, as you say, we're engaged in helping all of student media. To date, WRVU has benefited from all the revenue coming in from the Hustler, right? Historically, that's what's kept WRVU on the air, right? And that's been a good thing. If that could continue indefinitely, wonderful, right? It can't, it seems. And so what can we do to float all of the boats that are here at VSC, and the one asset we have, it happens to be that broadcast license. Does that mean that we expect people at WRVU would feel great about the possibility of science? Not at all. We know this is a hard thing. But that's why we're thinking this way, and if there's a better solution, we're open to it.
I just don't understand why, if we can support ourselves through a pledge drive, I know the Hustler revenue is shrinking, but then there would be significantly less cost and less need for an endowment.
Well, you couldn't really support yourself through pledge drives, probably, because unexpected expenses associated with broadcast, like a transmitter, $100,000, $150,000, you're not going to come up with that way. Besides that, we also need money for other things which might not survive at all if we don't have extra money. So,
we won't survive at all.
You'll survive as a different kind of radio station, but not a broadcast one. Okay, I understand.
First of all, in response to that, I've seen some college radio stations I'm totally supposed by it. I've pledged about 5 days just later. So that's totally possible. So I'm not doing that. Second of all, if we were to wait for like a year or 2 years, how much are you estimating the value of the drop? You're still playing yourself.
As far as the pledge drive thing goes, by all means, post that as a suggestion to the website. As far as how much we'd stand to lose by waiting a couple of years, no one can really answer that. I don't know. It could be 2 years from now. It's worth the same amount. It could be. It's worth almost nothing or half. I just don't know.
Is there a way we could possibly get some kind of estimation for that time, then we could use that time to think of and test other methods?
Well, if people could estimate values of things in the future, there'd be a lot of rich people in the stock market. But I don't think you can do that. You know, that's the nature of finance, right? You make your best guess, and you proceed in the way that seems best for the entire organization, which is VSC. Someone hasn't spoken up over here.
Yeah, I'm curious as to your plan after $5 million or so runs out.
It wouldn't run out. It'd be an endowment. Do you know how an endowment works?
Yes.
Okay, so it wouldn't be running out. It would just be generating income.
Okay,
you wouldn't be using principal.
My bigger concern, though, is you're getting rid of one of your biggest assets.
The only asset, yes.
Well, biggest media, because online is not radio. It's a different medium.
Okay.
So you're getting rid of WRMU, essentially. So, is that money going to go into a dying medium? Like, what are you going to do? Why do you need this money if you're not going to have WRMU?
Well, it's a good question, and the board's job is to oversee the money available and allocate it. So that money would be going to WRBU in its new form, it would be going to Inside Vandy, it would be going to the television station, which is booming, by the way, and other mediums as well. So it would be distributed as the board decides it needs to be distributed. Ashley?
Can you tell me what you think? Is there any comment that could be made on the website that would in any way affect the board's decision? Because our experience with the board has been that we make lots of good arguments, if we do say so ourselves, and then nothing changes. And I'm just wondering, is this all a charade? Or, I mean, what could possibly come of these comments? What kind of arguments could you even imagine being made? Is it sheer number? I mean, what is it?
We've spent a year making our own arguments back and forth, and now it's your turn to join the conversation. You can decide it's a charade, we're not going to listen. Not the case. So now's the time to make those arguments.
Well, then it kind of just ultimately seems like we're getting the short end of the stick without having enough time to decide what we want to do about it. Well, like, it seems we cost $15,000 a year, and then giving it completely up, we'll get that $15,000 back without the, like, it's kind of like trading a cow for a milking machine.
Yeah, I saw the one online. I like that line. Not really accurate, but I like it. $15,000 a year is the operating budget, right? And that's only a small part of what we're talking about here. We're actually talking about the overall financial health of all of VSC, right? And the $15,000 is just one drop in the bucket compared to the $900,000 budget that the board oversees. Okay.
When you guys built the new studio,
yeah.
Did you build the budget to create that with this in mind?
No.
Okay.
No, that money is paid for by hustler money, essentially. That money comes from the VSC reserves, which comes historically from hustler print revenues. That's where that money for the radio stations comes from. Back here.
I really like to know. So what you're basically telling us is this. Before exploring any alternate means to create revenue, we want to get rid of Nashville's oldest radio station, Vanderbilt's biggest outlet to the community. The one thing that everybody cares about is all that, without even thinking about any other ways to raise media. Like we said, we could be pledge drives, we could have real medical concerts. Currently, the general manager of Loving 100 and more of their DJs are holding back.
Mm-hmm.
Would probably be interested in keeping the WRBU around so that more students have the chance to get lost careers in radio like that.
Right.
Really pressing, you can sell ads on WRBU.
You really couldn't, actually. It's a very small, no one's going to bother because it's a small listenership.
No, it's big in Nashville. It's a big member of our community and has been for a long time. Lots of people care about that.
I understand that. It's not that we haven't considered alternatives. We don't think they provide enough. And if we get convinced that there are other... we've explored them, right? And benefit conscious, by the way, have always lost money. So, just a footnote there. But what you're asking are not good things. They're good for promoting the radio station. There'd be more money to do that if we got the money from the license. But it's not that we're not considering it. And there's open-ended process. Can I answer your question? There's open-ended process. If we find better alternatives we haven't thought of that you guys are proposing and seem viable, by all means, we consider that. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. The money can be reinvested. First of all, the money—it's not like Rice that sold it and they're building dining halls, right? All the money would be reinvested in Vanderbilt Student Communications, and a lot would go into WRBU. There's no question of that. Not in the same form. That's entirely true.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sure you've realized that you know the attitude here is basically that you guys are the enemy, and that you know we're trying to fight against you. And I don't think that's going to change until you really change the way you have your relationship is with us. You know, what I'd really like to see is a commitment from you to be a lot more transparent about this, not to, you know, withhold this information from us for months, not to, you know, buy up our protest websites. I mean, that's good. That's the kind of thing you see in a movie that, you know,
yeah.
To shake your fist to the screen. Right?
Yeah. I've already said buying up the websites, bad idea.
Yeah. Well,
I agree.
The main point of making this, as long as we feel like we're completely cut out of the loop, as long as we feel like we're just being, you know, throwing scraps of information whenever you guys, you know, feel like we should be let a little more in. We're not going to have a very productive relationship. We're just going to say, have your say.
I understand that. As far as transparency goes, we felt we had to wait to make an announcement in sequence. We started with Michael, executive staff, and then concentric circles out. And it's open-ended, and so there's a lot of time for this not to happen or to happen. And I'm telling you here now about the money involved and so forth. And if we can improve relations, if we've been more transparent, we will. But I do think we have good arguments for just controlling information to make it available to everyone before decisions have been made.
Yes. And kind of along the same lines, the transparency thing, and I can understand your reasoning for not doing it in the spring, but going forward with things, I would just like it. I mean, what I'm about to say, you might completely, like, I don't have this information. So you might have already looked at this, and it's completely not on the scope that you need. But I disagree when you say the transmitting license is your only asset. I mean, would you be allowed to release some figures as to, like, the renting of the rooms, the equipment, or whatever, for the lesser papers, whatever, you know, can we try and look and see what else we've got?
Yeah, we don't know anything. I mean, that's one thing we know.
We have expense, though.
Oh, the expenses? You're asking to see what our expenses are?
Yeah, I mean, what if we...
Oh.
I'm sure you, as the board, have looked at things and say, okay, you know, the renting the room for, I don't know, just the, or I'm picking something out of the Orbis staff or
the
whatever.
The annual expense for all of DSC for the Surratt is $50,000.
Okay.
I mean, we have all those figures. I'm not sure how they're going to... It's not like a fat in this budget.
I know, I'm just asking. I'm sure you guys have looked it over a bunch. I'm just asking if we could get some more.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just asking if we could get some more minds on this, potentially try to, you know, maybe somebody will see something, missed.
Like cost savings or something like this you're talking about?
He just asked you for a second opinion.
Like, about the finances.
Yeah, the people, again, I don't know exactly if it's entirely student done or moving, but in every single media outlet that is under VSC, there's got to be, you know, there's room rentals, there's, you know, like print, like, printer.
Yeah,
you
know, we have a unified budget. I don't see why that couldn't be shared with a group that wants to look at this. That's not a problem.
Can we get that information?
Yes, we'll find a way to make. I don't see why that would be a problem at all. Right. Way in the back here, middle.
I assume that there are a lot of people in the room who feel kind of betrayed by the board's actions. Why should we all trust the board of VSC?
Well, I mean, because I don't think by withholding the information we were trying to deceive anyone. I mean, by making an announcement all at once with an open-ended process without any commitment to do anything in particular, we try to make it open as we can instead of doing the Rice thing, which is just sell the damn station and do it over the summer and hope people don't get angry. I mean, that's all I can say about that. Yes, thank you.
Did the irrevocability of the sale come into your discussion?
Would the irrevocability?
Yeah, I mean, you're giving up something that's really concrete and has a huge impact. For a sum of money that's going to be diffused, and who knows what kind of impact it's going to have. In the meantime, who knows if you'll ever be able to get a license
by
or something like this.
Right. Our assumption would be that we'd never get a license back because these are hard to come by, which is why this has value. And so we do know it would be, this would be the, well, the odds are we'd never get a license back. Yeah. And so that's something definitely that is part of the factor.
Speaking of the cost benefit, so getting rid of this very valuable concrete thing that has a huge impact.
It does, yeah.
Do you think the diffuse benefits are really that worth it?
Well, when you say diffuse benefits, the way I would rephrase that is it's endowing all of Vanderbilt's student communications and making it viable and definitely in the future. That to me is a very concrete thing, including WRVU.
Okay, but what, I mean, you're also assuming that WRVU will function and be as relevant or as vibrant as it is now, given the change in format. I mean, is it still worth it if WRVU is no longer that way? If it becomes, I mean, it could really destroy the station and destroy student involvement, destroy opportunities for people to work in the radio. I mean, that's a huge...
Destroy community involvement?
Community as well. I mean, you can't say that it's all going to be the same slightly.
It's not going to be all the same. There's definitely a loss involved here. I won't deny that for a moment. Let me just address the one thing about the community, is that this has no bearing on community people being DJs or anything like that. When WRVU began, this goes way back, I had to ask about this. It was in our fact sheet there. What does AM current station mean? I'm not sure how many people know that. That's when the station was broadcast through the alternating current in the walls, and you had to plug in on campus to hear it. So it was an AM signal on campus. That's it, right? What we're proposing to do is not saying, now we're going to close in on Vanderbilt again and make it the equivalent of that, right? People in the community can still listen online, right? It's true that you've, and people all around the world can. So it's not meant to be, I don't think it has to be, any blow against community involvement. Granted, it's going to be different. You lose the serendipity of just stumbling across the station when you're spinning the dial. It's easier now to listen in the car. It's going to be easier in the future because all car companies are betting that this is the future and they're putting money into this. So, but nonetheless, yeah, it's going to be different, and there's definitely a loss involved. It's a cost-benefit analysis. What stand to gain, what loss? That's why we're doing this investigation now, to see how this all shakes out. Yeah,
I think this is a twofold question. First would be, how can you guarantee that the endowment's going to make money? Look at Vanderbilt, look at Harvard. Harvard had to lay off a ton of people because their endowment took up a huge hit and laid people off. So I don't think it's a safe bet to say this endowment's going to last. And what will you do when the endowment runs out? Because that it could happen, it might happen. And I guess my second question is, if this is a communications committee and radio, whether you like it or not, is a huge part of communication and part of the community. And to say that you don't need to be a voice in the community, I think, it's irresponsible. You're not being a good neighbor for the music city. This is a city that prides itself on music. And to take it off the air, I think, is irresponsible, and it would be a huge disaster for the community.
Okay. Let me just address the first part of that about the endowment. Harvard and those places, they really screwed up. Vanderbilt did much better than everyone else. And this endowment...
We still lost.
The stock market loses. But this money, if we're putting very conservatively, and we're generating 1% to 2% a year in treasury bonds, would still give us a lot more money than we have now. And so, sure, if we were to be as exploratory and high risk-taking as some of those university endowments, that could be a problem. I don't expect that would be the case.
And what about being part of the community?
Is I don't think that switching from broadcast to online shuts out the community.
See, I think that's the ethical difference, or the difference I think most of us are having, because if you take us off the FM, we're not part of the, it's not, anybody can listen to online radio, they can do that now, and to choose, there's just so many online radio stations, and some kids do that from his dorm room already, and it's a cultural thing, and I think removing that is just.
And that is the loss. I agree with you. That it would be different, and it would not be an improvement. I completely agree.
I don't understand how that's part of your mission statement, your communications committee. I mean, to take a huge part of what is communications, radio communications, FM broadcasting, taking it out, I just don't see how that could fulfill any mission statement.
Well, if you read the mission statement online or the bylaws for the corporation, it's actually all it says is about the Vanderbilt community. But in fact, we are thinking of the rest of the community, too. But the corporation was set up for the Vanderbilt community. And so we could just say, we don't care. what we do. And if this, again, were a question of really locking out the community completely, that would be a problem. It's still a loss, but it's not locking out the community. And the station will still be a local station insofar as it's going to be recording on Music City. It's going to be funding concerts and so forth. But I agree, it's not. It wouldn't be the same. Over here.
I understand the need for the separation between the BSC and the university, but has there been any outreach to the university to say, you guys are about to take a PR hit, whether you like it or not, can we get a cut on some rent? Do you guys want to buy this license and lease it to us? Is there?
We certainly consulted the university, even though we can do anything we want without their approval. We certainly ran it by them, and there was no offer. They'd never given us a penny. There was certainly no offer to buy the radio station. Yeah. Someone hasn't spoken up yet. Have you spoken up yet?
Given our BSC's prior record of just kind of doing things and then telling us, does putting it on sale mean you're 90% away there and you already have like 10 bidders?
No. There's no bidders. The news only hit the trade publications on Friday. No one knew about this.
Okay. I have two kind of different questions. Okay. But first of all, I want to thank you for coming here and talking with us again. Sort of a repeat of last year, I feel like, at least in the tone, I think
people are being very polite. I don't have a problem with
that. So, one point about the transparency between members of WRU and the BSC board. There are 3 faculty members and 5 students on
yes.
the BSC board, correct? Is right. there any representation from WRU on the BSC board from the students on?
There's no automatic representation. The way it used to work was that division heads were always on the board, and that didn't seem to work, and so the bylaws were redone years ago, and now students are elected. And so things are done in consultation with all the division heads. There's a reporting structure. We've got this multicolored chart. But no, there's not a board member who is specifically WRU. I'm right about that.
Yeah, actually, last year when the decision was made, 2 of the members of the board were trained WRU DJs. They didn't have shows at the time of the decision. But earlier in their bandbook careers, they did have shows. And I'm trained WRU DJ right now.
Right.
Sorry, I'm Justin. I'm one of the
This is just in one of the board members. But there's no automatic structural position for WRVU on the board.
And so when the decision was made to explore the sale of the license,
yeah.
was the entire board there present?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
There were.
And my other question was, one of the rationales behind possibly selling the license was a decline in student listenership to broadcast radio. Is this...
Well, our survey, this is what I meant by the enabling condition. Surveys show that undergraduates here don't listen over the air, they listen online. And that made it seem like we're not going to be screwing the undergraduate population, who is our primary concern as a corporation, so we could think about this.
So you have taken into account figures from undergraduate students about their listenership to online
yeah.
radio stations?
Yeah, we could make public that those surveys too, I assume. Right? We had all these surveys. We did, yeah.
Okay, that would be extremely helpful.
Okay, actually, let me just write down 2 things you guys want to see, make available. Budget and survey is what I have here. Okay, all right.
You've already established you went to Vanderbilt and asked, do you want to buy the station? Someone said no. How many people in the Vanderbilt administration actually heard about the problem?
Oh, well, it's the head of, the chancellor knows about it, on down through the chief financial officers. We cleared it with Beth Fortune. We cleared it with all that.
Well, what I'm thinking is that says something that apparently Vanderbilt isn't as interested as I would hope there would be, but I still wanted to point out that although Vanderbilt does not own the station, they fund half of VSC. That's where
through the student
from.
Fees, yeah.
Yes,
that's right.
And
which is a little different than Vanderbilt's own operating.
The distinction, yeah, the distinction is probably understood by 0.5% of our listeners that it's not owned by Vanderbilt. What I'm suggesting is, I think Vanderbilt would take something of a public relations hit for this, and I'm wondering who has been contacted about this since you made that first contact about a sale, and with what were the things that were asked? Did anyone ask, what would you think of us doing this? Would this be an okay idea, et cetera?
Yeah, first of all, I was not present for those conversations. I don't know that anyone explicitly said, do you want to buy this? Mm-hmm. Right? Obviously, we would be happy if they did. But the question was, we're thinking of doing this. Do you have a problem with this? And the answer was no.
They gave 7.
Yes. We're thinking of announcing that we're exploring selling. Would you have a problem with this? Even though technically we don't have to ask you, obviously we're all on this together, and they did not have a problem.
And this answer came from a limited number of people. About how many people?
I couldn't answer that. I mean, again, we're trying to control the information so possible buyers don't have inside information on this before it happens. So if I had to pull out a number out of my head of people knew that at the top of Vanderbilt, I don't know, 5 or 6, I really don't know. Okay, so someone hasn't spoken up yet. You here? You spoken? Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, could you elaborate on...
I was calling this guy, but go ahead. No, that's okay, go ahead. We'll get it next.
What do you mean when you said that having a WRV representative on the DSC board didn't work out?
Oh, it wasn't because of WRV. What happened, I'm just told, this is way before my time. This is like 15 years ago, apparently, longer. You'd have a hustler person who's always on the board. You'd have a WRVU person. And they like a horse trade. I'll support you if you support me to get these benefits for this kind of thing. And it seemed like you didn't have a detached board that was just overseeing things with a big picture, who didn't have horses in the race in the same way as an actual. So it didn't make sense that it was structurally. Okay. But that's what, again, way before my time.
The drawback of that is not as big as the drawback of not having representation from WRV, which is one of the VSCs.
It's just because no one applied. It's not like they're like shutting us out. No one applied. That's all.
Well, so I feel like we should have, an automatic seat on the board.
We don't.
Well, it's not in the bylaws. Those could be amended.
Would you be open to that kind of a change?
The board can amend bylaws anytime it wants to. I don't know if anybody's going to do it or not, honestly, because I'm dealing with this structure and it seems to me fully functional. I don't think even one WRVU automatic person on the board would have made any difference in this situation.
Do you listen to online radio?
I do. I'm from Chicago. I listen to WXRT. And I listen to WRVU now on my iPhone. But I listen to most of my radio in the car, listening to NPR and WRVU.
On the radio?
On the radio. In my car, yeah. And that's... I'm sure you don't care about this, I'll tell you anyway. You have announcements that Ford and their Sync system is going to be supporting mobile apps. OnStar is going to be doing this too. And so car companies are putting millions of dollars into the bet that everyone wants to be able to stream radio and stuff in their cars. And when that happens, commercial radio is really going to be in trouble. And we're trying to get ahead of the curve here. Okay,
If that happens, don't you think Pandora and that sort of thing will ultimately win anyway?
Pandora? Pandora's a weird closed circle, I don't know.
If it can tailor music to your interests, then radio altogether, that communication will go.
What's the difference with streaming radio and Pandora? Pandora is a closed circle of your interests. The nice thing about radio is it just gives you something you're not expecting.
Well, do we have a figure on how many people choose Pandora over online streaming?
I don't know about that. All the way back?
I'm sure there's research.
But yes, you can be back.
So if you were to sell the license, could you describe the cost difference between, say, running a smaller range of FM station just for campus or an AM station?
Oh, you mean having a different license for a smaller... I don't think there's space available on the band, which is why this is currently an asset. It wouldn't make sense to try to find money to get a smaller broadcast. Well, I don't think you could do that, honestly.
Cheaper, though? Wouldn't we net, like, $3 million or something?
If it were available, but I don't think that's
available. Ours is available now. Somebody, I'm sure, would be willing, if you offered the right price, somebody would sell an AM band. Don't you think?
I really don't think an AM band is an answer here, but... Put that on the website, but it's for that, yeah. Here and then here.
For one thing, this wasn't my main point. So an AM band might be part of an answer, at least as far as a middle step in between radio and essentially, let's call it what it is, a podcast. I mean, if this were to go through, I don't know if I'd even feel comfortable keeping the call letters. You've already promised us that. I feel like a lot of people would agree it would not feel like a radio station.
It would be different.
But, On what I was going to say before, the whole thing about, Pandora being what it is, I disagree. Like, the whole point about that is it's an algorithm perfectly tailored to you to let you discover new things based on what you already like.
And, right. That's
if somebody finds a one-hour show on WRVU that they're in sync with the DJ and they know they can go to that and discover some new stuff, great, that's like one very minuscule fraction of what Pandora would do for you the whole time. There are certain allegiances, like you know.
Are you arguing that Pandora is not as good as WRVU broadcast to introduce people to new things? If so, I totally agree. Is that what you're saying?
I'm arguing that Pandora is better on an individual basis.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm not sure why we're talking about this.
I mean, I don't see how this makes sense to put all our eggs in this online radio thing that you're, I mean, to me it seems that you're trying to enter a battle that you have no hope of doing well in. I mean,
we're not looking to like score a jackpot and getting millions of listeners.
I realize that. It's just, but from this, I mean, if we were to become completely online, you would not gain listeners half as fast, if at all. You'd be banking on the people who already know and have the loyalty that you do to Chicago. I mean, your user community would stay the same, if not decline.
That remains to be seen. That's a possibility. I don't know that that's necessarily true.
Have you done any kind of surveys? You said, you know, undergraduate listenership is declining. It's moving to online. Have you done any surveys that, you know, there are other online habits of WRVU versus Last.fm, Pandora?
I can't remember what's included in the surveys, and we can make those public. I don't remember. Yeah, sure.
At the community DJ meeting last year, yeah. I remember it was really stressed that WRVU's purpose is like mostly for like educating students and things.
Yeah.
When we go chiefly to an online format, if we go chiefly to an online format, and I hope to God we don't, there's not really going to be much to educate anymore. If we're not governed by the FCC's guidelines, there will be no reason to make our trainees know that they have to do a legal ID at the top of every hour. There will be no reason for them to know the 7 dirty words that you're not allowed to say on the radio. There's just so much less that you're going to have to learn. You won't have to learn about, like, what happens if something happens to the transmitter, because you won't have to worry about that, because there won't be a transmitter.
Okay.
And we're not going to be serving our purpose anymore.
Okay. I see the point. It is true that we'll be no longer be bound by FCC regulations. It doesn't necessarily follow from that we wouldn't have an interest in educating people of what those are, because it is supposed to be a training thing. And so if people do hope to move from WRVU to a career in radio, we would still be teaching that stuff. What it does mean is you could play hip-hop and heavy metal without having to worry about FCC fines.
I
agree there'd be a loss there, but you could still teach that.
I just don't think we would. I mean, why would you if you didn't have to?
Because you'd be training people to go into
the... I remember those words. I mean, like, I remember them because I have to. And I mean...
Well,
funny.
It would be
really funny.
WRVU would set its own standards, free of because WRVU would still want to have standards of what can be said, so there would still be some constraints. WRVU is not going to want people on the station just going blue, even though they could without fines, right? So there's still going to be some sense of institutional constraints you have to work within, and we could still choose to train people in the full FCC compliance in order to make it possible for them to go into radio, which is probably not the best bet for your career these days, but if you wanted to, you could sort of learn that. Yeah. All right, Michael.
I think with going on the education aspect, another DJ made this point, and I thought it was an especially good one, that education isn't necessarily just for the radio industry. Like, we're educating students, but then it's not because everybody's going to the radio industry.
Right. Okay.
I've been doing college radio since I was in high school, and really, had I not, I would hardly be able to speak to anyone. It raises your confidence so much to know that you're speaking to potentially thousands or hundreds of thousands of people.
Potentially.
But still, you don't know. I mean, you could be talking to 10 people, but it's just the idea that you have to be as professional as possible all the time. And when you're online, you lose almost all of that. 99% of the good training that you gain from having to always conduct yourself in a professional, calm manner.
You think people won't still feel that?
No.
I mean, this is something that you can do from your dorm room. It becomes a whole other activity.
Well, it's something you can do from your dorm room, but it's still going to have the whole history of WRVU associated with it. It's still going to be a responsibility to that.
That's your friends.
Well, right now, that's mostly what it is. The listenership for WRVU is...
So how many years do we have to wait?
It's like 300 people.
How long do we have to wait?
Right here.
Two questions. could you give just a brief explanation of the VSC versus Vanderbilt, how it's independent? I don't know if that, I didn't really understand if it's like a limited liability kind of thing.
We're a 510(3)C. And that's a non-profit organization which was incorporated. All the bylines, the bylaws are online, WRVU. You can read all about how, why it's set up and how it's set up. It was set up in like 1967, I think. Part of it was that the reason it was set up historically, just for your interest, was that in the 60s, the radio station was really radical. A lot of people were then. And the university wanted to distance itself from it, make it its own thing with its own liability. So it got set up that way.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
And then the other question is, and just a little statement, but is it technically for sale right now? Is the station
technically we're fielding offers should they come in? Yeah, right now we've announced that we're interested in selling it. If you're interested in buying, come talk to us. But we also said that we're not necessarily doing it.
Right.
We're announcing we're exploring it, which is a way of saying to people, if you want to buy, obviously if no one wants to buy it, that wouldn't happen anyway. If it's too little money, but other things could happen too. But yeah.
And I think just to keep saying, using the terms broadcast and radio, and even WRVU, I'm not sure if you could even use that if it's not a radio, an
we
actual
can
broadcast
radio. We can use the call letters. We own the call letters.
But I think that's kind of a misnomer to keep saying broadcast and radio because
streaming,
like, it's really...
I'll call it streaming. Is that better?
Yeah, but it's like...
There is a term, internet radio, which is current. I'm not making that up, obviously. I know what you're saying. It's a new formation because it's not the same radio historically. It was only over the air.
It's kind of like candy cigarettes.
Behind you, actually. This woman here.
Yeah, if the
and then back over here and there.
The sale went through. How are you planning to use that money that you say you personally would like to go back to WRVU? And also, how would you go about promoting the radio? Online station.
Right.
After
okay.
Because it is true that with more listeners, you feel that.
Yeah. The more listeners, the better. The more you feel you're really out there connecting to people, right? The money that comes in would go into VSC's general reserve funds to support everything. Now, what I said was the $15,000 a year that automatically saved by if we were to do this, I would be in favor of saying that just is dedicated. It can only go to our RVU. Then other money would be available for promotion. And part of the idea is, and this is what the executive staff was saying when I first spoke to them, was that, well, you know, we could then find ways to try to promote and grow our reader, our listenership. And we certainly want to do that. It would really open up a lot of possibilities.
So there are no ways that we have in mind, it's just that we could invest. There's nothing
specific. No, we haven't made specific plans because we'd be talking with Michael and with the radio station. What do you want to do with money?
So it would have just been like given to the radio station.
We wouldn't give $5 million to radio station. No. It would be for all of VSC. Yeah. And these two women back here and there. Yeah.
You say your primary concern is undergraduate students.
Well, that's but the corporation is set up primarily to serve the undergraduate population. Yeah.
Right. But this is not only with a learning experience for being confident in speaking, but this is a career setting zone. I can't to Nashville to learn
I don't think it's fair to say we'd be eliminating the program.
But it wouldn't be on the radio anymore.
It would not be over
the... It doesn't matter the way that it does if I'm telling my future employers, I work for an online stream.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like working for an online stream out of your dorm room, but you would be saying, yes, I work for WRVU online stream. That's what you'd be saying. Yeah.
She's a trainee. I was just wondering, because you are a music fan and you said you listen to WRVU, are you and the board concerned because there is so little airspace up for sale in Nashville, and it's my understanding that this could not be sold to a commercial station because of where it falls. Is that correct? It would have to be another
non-governmental
organization or some non-profit or some government organization. So in my mind, I'm thinking that's going to be another Christian radio station or something because there are just so few people that would be in the opportunity to even be eligible to buy this space.
Yeah, or WNPR.
Right. Are you guys concerned? Like, are you just looking for the highest bidder, theoretically, or do you also have an interest in what this space becomes?
I don't have a, I mean, I personally, the board, because the idea is once the broadcast is gone, someone else is 91.1, that's no longer WRVU,
right?
And if it's Christian, that's not my choice personally, but I don't think, I'm trying to imagine what might we want to turn down on the grounds of the content. I think that might be problematic legally. I'm not sure.
I guess I just wonder that because WRVU does offer such diverse programming, and I'm sure you'll agree that it is completely unique in our marketplace.
Absolutely.
It is the only space that does that, and by eliminating the only space that does that, do you guys as a communications board consider that in what you're doing?
Well, that's part of this notion that there would be a necessary loss here. No one is pretending this is like all, I think you should all be jumping up and down, this is all great, now we have money for VSC, right? That's the upside, and there are downsides too. And there's a complex calculation on both sides. There's money that could be spent for WRVU streaming that otherwise wouldn't be there to ensure its future. But it's true, there would be that loss of what's happening over the air now through WRVU. There's no question of that. I acknowledge that. Over here?
If a revenue stream could be created, or the money was donated to keep WRVU active,
yeah,
and pay for its expenses on a yearly basis, would you consider doing that, or are you set on selling the station? Yes or no?
We're not set on selling the station. But we're also not looking for money just to support WRVU. We're looking for money to support all of VSC.
What if someone stepped up and said, we'll make that $15,000 available every year to support WRVU. It's their funding, and they say this is where I'm going to direct it. Will you turn that money away and say RVU's gone?
We would not accept that instead of selling. No.
Okay.
So,
no.
So
it's over.
It's
basically over.
No, it's not. This is about raising money for for VSC, not for WRVU exclusively. This is part of the point about WRVU being part of this larger organization. It's part of a larger media mix.
And
part of this corporation.
I repeat, if the money is available to make WRVU operate, you're going to turn it back.
$15,000 a year would donated annually would not be enough for us to pull the idea of selling WVR off the table.
Okay, so
is that clear enough?
There's no need for these kids to fight about it. It's basically what you're saying.
No.
Yes, that's what you're saying.
It's not what I'm saying.
Somebody may offer you the money, and that could be arranged to keep it up.
Someone offers me $5 million, then yes, it's off the table.
So
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, my second question is, who set up the website by proxy? Can you tell us who that was? The Save WRVU set up by proxy.
I don't know for a fact. I would talk to Chris and Jim about that.
Okay, so in other words, the option again is off the table.
I mean, I take full responsibility for that because I'm for the board, but I didn't do it.
Going back to my original question, so everybody knows, the option of saving WRVU by bringing the money is off the table, so it's gone.
By bringing $15,000 a year annually, that is not acceptable. That's right.
It
has to be closer to what we get by selling the
like
broadcast.
$5 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Thanks.
Is there a?
You're
welcome. I know you can't publish this, obviously, but is there a point where the board is going to say that's just not enough money? We'll
oh yeah.
Just keep running things the way
we haven't decided what that's going to be, but yeah, there's a certain amount of money. We say, well, hell, it's not worth it.
Let us know what that is.
Well, we figure it out. We could, but you can't announce that beforehand if you're trying to have an auction. You know, I mean, you can't say, you know, but yeah, you know, come on.
For me, thinking ahead, in the circumstance that we do sell the station and we have that money, we get the $5 million and everything, I always have a little bit of concerns with actually us getting the money in the first place, having to...
WRVU getting the money?
Yeah, WRVU getting the money. I mean, like, I don't expect to get all of it. I know it's going to be split up within VSC, but I can't help it at this point, even right now, to feel like I'm begging for scraps when I need to come to you guys for money. And in addition, how are we going to get music? Because that's how we get the music from all these places. Because
is
we are
get the music. What do you mean by that?
The music. We sent. We're sent music. I'm sorry. We're sent all of this music basically for free almost. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. Like for that, but because we're a station, after we sell ourselves and we're not a station anymore, we're not going to be getting music. How are we going to have music? We're not even going to have new artists. Because that's how I do it. I sit in there. I was a music director last year with Jim and Victor. And, I mean, I would sit there for hours and just go through all of these new great bands. I mean, a lot of them were really bad, but, I mean, you pull out the gems sometimes.
Right.
I don't even know how we're going to do that process because, I mean, there's going to be a lot of research and stuff like that I wouldn't even know how to begin how to do.
Jim Hayes told us that we would have to ask you for money. That it would be like, we'd go to you and be like,
to buy
Dad,
music?
Can we have some money to go to the record store and buy some music?
I can't expand on this.
I don't know how else we do it.
Because we are one of the top 25 stations in the nation, and we report to College Music Journal everything we play every
top 25 college stations? Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Promo companies, every promo company sends us music for free. We have to pick up buckets of it every day at the mail station.
Mm-hmm.
This is totally free. We get stuff weeks before it's released. And this would not happen. They wouldn't care if we were online. We would have to pay for all the music we get. In addition, we wouldn't be able to get it in such a timely fashion as we do. We would have to wait for stuff that's already released. We wouldn't be able to get stuff in time.
Okay.
And it would incur a lot of extra expense to have to purchase all these albums.
All I can say in response to that is that's interesting news to me. I've written a note about how this, and Michael, can you address this? How you think it would affect things? I don't know. I don't know how much it would cost to buy music instead. But
I mean, every record is like $10. It would be a significant amount.
It would be $5 million.
Okay.
It would be.
Important concern. And again, I had a note of it here, but also post that on the website. That's the kind of thing I didn't know. I find extremely interesting, and no one's ever told me that. Okay.
There's another cost here that no one's addressing.
Yeah.
As the traffic on the site for streaming increases, licensing fees increases, and there have been several online radio stations that have been had to shut down because they cannot afford the streaming licenses. If you are just an online-only radio station or online stream station, the fee structure is very different and more expensive than if you have a terrestrial station which has a streaming component.
Yeah.
Where is that budget going to come from, the increased cost for online streaming?
That would have to be a part of the big picture. We'd have to decide we think that works to pursue this. And if we, for instance, looked into this further and found out the licensing fees would be prohibitive, we wouldn't do it then. You may have a stream.
Well, just nice small.
Yeah.
Having a stream or not, at the risk of making a show of this, but would everyone here who is a DJ or trainee just raise your hand? Just, I don't know when the next DSC board meeting is, but it might be useful to see who all's here who's a DJ.
I figured that was about what I was expecting.
Can we just have trainees raise
their
hands too?
Okay. And, if I'm a DJ or trainee, keep your hand up. If WRVU were to switch to an internet-only format, if you would stay on with WRVU, keep your hand up, otherwise put your hand down.
Okay. Wow. I would trust.
Please stick with us.
Keep an open mind yet. I mean, you're saying this now, but think about it. Don't make a decision on that right now, okay? Back over here. Yeah.
It made it sound like it's completely about money. Is there any degree of university outrage that could just annul this? What about alumni donation and poverty?
I think if the entire undergraduate population were furious about this, the board would take that very seriously. Not the entire. If a huge number of students were really upset, we'd take that very seriously, yeah. Yeah. And we're imagining they won't because they don't listen over the air, but we could be wrong. Okay? Back over here. I'm a few more minutes on this, but
I'd just like to say that I think one thing you're totally that you don't understand or know
okay.
is how much this radio station means to Nashville as a whole. This station has been here forever. It's got so many listeners. You're talking about bringing up new listeners for Radio Street. You know how long it takes to get that kind of loyalty? Maybe about the 60 years we've been on right now. And this, I mean, how many of the community DJs are from fairly prominent places in town? How many bands in Nashville got their start through WRVU? Again, I'm not a student, so I'm going to ask the students here. Like, how many students want their voice to be heard on a radio station that's not heard by people?
What do you mean not heard by people?
I didn't understand.
computer people are people, too.
I'm saying that if you were here and you want to be on WRVU, you're there because you want to be heard in your community. You want to go out to all of Nashville. That's a huge selling point, not only for WRVU, but for the BSC and for Vanderbilt. Your students are going out on this huge, venerable institution that is in the top 25 radio stations in the country, television stations in the country, that has this long history, that has all these bands you want to play, that has people from all these record labels sending you stuff before it comes out. This is why people go here. That's why people are saying it. They want to be part of this.
I understand.
But I understand that it will help the other BSC units, and right. I'm not taking anything away from any of the other BSC things, but none of them have even close to the reach outside of Vanderbilt that WRVU does. WRVU is Vanderbilt's reach in the community, and it's a really, really important one to so, so many people.
I understand that. I think it's a very important point, and I hope you put that in writing for the website. I don't disagree with anything you said. Back here.
My question, aside from the point of only telling Michael and Tyler before we told everyone else, is that, so from what I can tell, you don't really know how much you're going to be able to sell this thing. You don't know what it's going to be worth in the future. I don't get how you can magically say, oh, in 2 years, the game's not going to be worth anything.
I didn't say that. I said it might not be. It might be worth the same. I don't know.
I don't think I'm not seeing it.
Change that.
You know,
gotten
through my forethought to the budget or the financial structure of active size.
I'm sorry, what's your question?
It seems to have any thought at all as to how much money we'd actually get or would be able to get in the future.
That's all I can say is not true. We've spent a long time looking into it, and of course you can't know in advance what something's worth till it goes on the market. But we have investigated this very carefully. We've looked into declining radio licenses value and so forth. So it may seem that way to you. That's because you only just heard about it. In fact, it's been thought about for a long time. Okay, like five more questions here.
Actually, I have two, probably pretty quick. Speaking on the economics of it, I mean, it's no, I guess, hidden fact that we're currently in some sort of economic downturn. Wouldn't that make it a more logical decision to wait a bit and hope for swing to the magic of the economic cycle, because the license is going to be worth, you know, I figure we're probably not going to be in this economic downturn for another 10, 15, 20 years. At 5 years, we'll probably, you know, be optimistic to be out of it finally. And as we were saying before, the only people that would be able to buy this license would be nonprofits. So they will probably be the last people to fall out of the, you know, the radio atmosphere, you know, say commercial stations. Once everything goes online, they're going to be the first out.
Right.
And then, you know, Christian stations, they're not going to, I don't know, just my impression, not to stereotype people who run or listen to a Christian radio station, they probably will be one of the last people to finally get off of the radio bandwagon. So I feel that our position of the 91.1 station on the bandwidth is probably more valuable if we were instead of 101.1 or 103.7. And so it probably wouldn't be such a bad idea to give it a couple of years, as we were saying, just to let the students sort of get what we got to get in order. And then also, you know, just financially, since money seems to be most important here, to maximize the profit you can make from this if you really, really wanted to sell it.
I think that's definitely worth debating. Please submit that. That's something worth looking into. I do think as far as business cycles go in the current recession, there's no reason to think the radio licenses are closely tied to that. That's sort of an independent question of where technology is going.
Well, I mean, $5 million to drop on a drop on a radio station, obviously we'll have more about $5 million later. It's, I mean, everything in economics is connected. You can't argue that something isn't connected to the economic cycle.
No, it is. It is. You're right about that. In any case, post that.
And then
worth
one
it.
More
second
thing.
Yeah.
If I'm the program director, so I make up the schedules every year. We have about 80 shows. I would say 30 to 40 of them are students. If, you know, 75% to half of those students were to walk because of this, how would that even affect your decision? Because the whole thing about the DJ cap was that we didn't have enough students in there. So now that, you know, you're causing all this outrage among students and they decide, you know, screw this, I'm out of here, I'm not going to go talk in an online station, wouldn't that kind of nullify all of the arguments made over the DJ cap and all up and through now that this WRVU is 4 students, if we only have 10 students and then the rest of the staff we decide to stay on?
Oh my gosh, it's 75 more. 75! 75!
I mean, I just feel like a lot of people seem very pessimistic that any sort of student outrage would help, but I feel like student outrage among those who the students are directly affected by this, I feel like I would hope that if, you know, we had a petition that said, you know, I'm going to walk if this sale goes through,
we'd like to hear from all people concerned, especially trainees, organized people, and get them in touch with us.
That's what it is.
That would have made it a lot easier. Come on. Be serious. It's really a small issue. It was a stupid idea, but it's not going to affect your ability to make things novel. Come on.
All right, I'll try to make this fast. A couple things. For one thing, as a music director, Jim and I both have, you know, put a lot of time into this, us having to go out and purchase CDs, even if we did get a budget for that,
right.
Us having to go out and look for these gems rather than them coming to us like that, we would lose so much. And also, as a working musician myself,
yeah.
I would be so much more, will like, I would want my energy to go towards sending my stuff to stations that have a signal versus, I mean, I WRVU in my eyes and that part of who I am will go down.
I think this whole business about the supply of music and promotion, as you're saying, is really important and interesting, and definitely submit that because it's something that the board has to talk about. Something we've talked about.
One thing really important, I realize that you can't really have an auction and say, oh, but we'll save it for this. But if you could give us any kind of number, I mean, there are some organizations that I've been trying to go to. There is, I mean, I'm a member of the Grammys. There's a 50-man strong music fraternity on campus. We have a lot of chapters in the Nashville area. There are, I mean, you're not, with no even vague number or whatever, I can't.
Now, how much money would have to be raised to take the sale off?
Yeah, because what it seemed like from earlier exchanges is that, I mean, like, you don't know, and it might just be like, how about now? We've got 50,000. No, we need 60. We got 60. No, we need, like...
That's an excellent question, one I personally can't answer, but let me...
But, I mean, there's no... We don't have a chance of approaching people to actually try and have a chance until we get a number to give them.
No,
if,
I think
if
that's
we
nice
got
important.
A goal, we could... We
no,
could
I think have, five, that makes perfect sense. Let me just write
yeah.
Is there a minimum...
If it is really a one-time
deal. We need that information before we have any chance of making an effort to organize that.
I don't
think
we
want the station.
No, that's a good point. I don't want to look into that. All right, here.
Yeah. I think we can probably admit that if, I think everyone here would agree that if it goes to an online stream, we certainly will not have a big listenership, at least for a while. And I wonder... How long will the VSC board tolerate students not really having any audience on RV? I mean, how many sets of classes have to go by before, you know, I mean, do we wait 4 years and then another 4 years and then another 4 years and all those kids don't have a chance to really have an audience? Because online, I mean, at least at first, you have to admit, we're not going to have much of an audience.
Well, you're going to have the same audience you have now on canvas.
But we won't really have very much.
That's
all of the problems stated, you admit that our audience will decline significantly, overall. It will. I just wonder how many classes worth of students are we going to deprive the opportunity to broadcast that we've enjoyed so far?
That's a rhetorical question I can't answer.
I mean,
first of all, you're making assumptions and conclusions that I don't necessarily accept. So
that the audience
I take your point that you're worried about declining numbers, and that's a bad thing.
I think it's unfair to well, you understand.
I do. All right. Thank you very much. Yeah.
In the interest of transparency, will it be possible to save the comments that are given to the website and make those public, even with their anonymous names? So that all the feedback you get from the people will be shared with us, so we can see it also.
I don't see why it couldn't eventually all be made public. Yeah, but, you know, it's not being put on a bulletin board right now. It's just going to the email address. But yeah,
it'd be a really good idea, just so everyone's sort of fully transparent. We can see what's being said, and it would help us with our arguments in the future. We could also use that as really for stuff for comments to get donations. This is what's been said about the station. As we go for money. Don't y'all think that'd be a good idea?
Yeah, and that's really important because we now that it's going to you, and if it could be a black hole for as far as we're concerned, you know,
as far as you know, we're not.
It just gives accountability and transparency.
Yeah, I will make that recommendation. Bring that to the board. Okay, yeah, here.
I want to follow up on what Drew was saying about the community outreach. I think it is somewhat classist, perhaps ageist, to say that people will still be able to get to it online. There are a lot of people, especially on shows like mine, which is old R&B, 40s and 50s jazz, and Steve's, which is blues, and other specialty shows, the Hillbilly show that just went off the air, that people listen to those that wouldn't be able to listen online. There's old folks, there's a blind woman that calls my show and calls Hillbilly Jamboree a lot. I get calls from people who, you know, probably barely watch TV, I don't know. And I think it would be I think from Vanderbilt's point of view, with Vanderbilt as a player in this, even not officially, it would be unfortunate for to give up that side of the outreach to the community.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. And again, I'm not here to defend and decide what we're doing, but yeah, again, post that as an important point, legitimate point.
One more quick thing. I really think it would be good if, as a show of good faith, they let loose of Save WRVU. Okay.
Until then, you save wrvuradio.org.com and .net are on our side. Save WRVU Radio. Publicize that.
Do it on Facebook.
Yeah. I'd like to say that from the perspective of undergraduate trainees, that the decision to essentially, I guess, take our WRVU off the radio broadcast, say it's okay, guys, I'm having it on the screen, that's not okay. I can say that's, from my perspective, the my entrance level in continuing the trainee process would definitely decline, I would say. And you say that ESC has the undergraduate opinions and their opinions are important to ESC. And you say that essentially upgrading our WRVU this much, you say that's in the best interest of the undergraduate opinion.
Well, first of all, I'm not sure what your second point was. The first one, it would be important for us to hear from all the trainees what your thoughts about this are, and this from everyone. The second point is, what exactly?
Can you say that undergraduate opinion and like the Vanderbilt VSC media, the undergraduate opinions, and that's an important part.
Yes, that's an important part. Yeah.
Can you say that taking WRVU is important off the air, essentially? Can you say that is keeping the best interest of the undergraduate population in mind?
I can't say that now until we hear from everyone, but that's something we'll look into. Yeah, that's obviously a legitimate concern. We're set up to serve the undergraduate population. Way back in the corner. You in the yellow. Sorry. What's your name?
Drew. All right, Drew. All right, I'd just like you to say, you said when you listen to your station online, which you listen to it because it's a radio station. I'd like, if you take your survey again among the undergraduates, how many listen online, how many listen to broadcast? You also have an option that says how many of you listen to an online stream that isn't actually a radio station, it's not provided the legitimacy of being an actual radio station. That means a lot in the community that takes this. You said you agree with everything I said about how much it means to the community, how much the history is, how much Vanderbilt gets from that relationship.
When you first...
roughly monetarily. I mean, judging from the cost of Vanderbilt classes, I wouldn't be surprised if it's millions.
Did you begin listening to that online station as a broadcast station?
No, of course not. I grew up with WXRT. I grew up when WXRT was 2 hours on a Saturday morning.
Well, that's what I mean.
The rest was Armenian.
You did start listening to it as a broadcast.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Ask them, are they listening to online only? I'm not even sure how the current survey was actually phrased, but that's worth asking.
Oh, that's actually a radio station. If they listen to a radio station or if they listen to...
No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay. Yes, you and then come back over here. Yes, go ahead. Not taking into full account what would be lost for students who are participating in this nation? Okay. If that's the case, I want you all to make that as clear as possible, all the trainees, everyone else who worked at the station, write it up and explain it to us. And if I give you that impression, I apologize. Right? You then? Did you have a... No?
I do have a question.
Come over here and we'll work what it's
okay. Legally, the way the radio station is set up now under the BSC board, would there ever be a possibility that the station could merge into some sort of community-funded station like WFMU or perhaps, I don't know what the radio station is that you were listening to out of Chicago, but that is some sort of both university-funded and community-funded station like NPR stations are often. They're broadcast out of college stations but also supported by listeners. I mean, I'm somebody who supports WPLN here and WFMU in New York because I like to listen to their online streams, but they are also a real radio station.
So it'd be possible for WRBU to merge with some other
community.
I was just
wondering if that is even a legal possibility.
I don't know. I have to look that up. I mean, it's
WRFN, for example.
Yes, over here. No, you
can say you're very interested in the training perspective of the undergraduates. I'm wondering, this is a question for you or anybody else who knows, whether the trainees have been on the same listserv on the internet or the email?
They're not on the same listserv because you can't be on the WRD staff listserv until you complete training, because that would just be a nightmare. But
we've got another list of everybody who's interested. Is there a way to start
Michael, I can stay here till the cows come home, but do you want me to stop in time for you then to have these people here to talk about organizing and stuff? I mean, I'll just answer that people get tired out, but you might want these people in the room to keep organized. I don't know, but you think about that. Here.
You mentioned earlier a survey about student listenership.
Yeah.
When was that survey given out? It's like, I personally don't recall ever taking a survey, and I don't know
who people.
People.
Brenda sample.
BSC has access to like a big email address list, and then I think some names are randomly taken out of that, and then used to sample. And it's not, the survey is about student media consumption in general.
Wasn't just at WRBU.
Yeah, but there were a number of questions that pertained to WRBU. And this was before any discussions.
So, do you know what the sample size is? I don't know that.
Honestly, I guess
I think maybe 2,500 sent out 500 response.
Yeah, something
like
that.
Like what?
About 2,500 sent out,
2,500 sent out, I don't know how many responded. Okay, but we're losing focus here. Other questions for me? Yes.
How do you measure listenership on the air?
Well, probably Justin can address this. Arbitron, the listenership is so small it doesn't even register. And WRVU, as far as we can, you know, it's way down in Nashville. It's below the AM for WTLN, 1430. And so the estimates are like 300 regular listeners in the community on the air.
The entire summer was other division.
Pardon me?
Are you using last year's numbers? Or before we had such a loss where we haven't had a chance yet to recoup with all these great new trainees?
Those are last year's numbers. Justin?
The last numbers that I saw, and the numbers I saw were for the month of August. This is using Arbitron's newest system, which replaces diaries now in the PPM, which I don't know if you know about that, but it's like a little box that people carry around, which is supposedly more accurate than the diaries. In it, WRVU was not the bottom station, but it was closer to the bottom. The numbers that I saw were for the audience was between 25 and 54. So again, that's not necessarily the like undergraduate population, obviously. There should be some new numbers out in a couple days, or hopefully within a week or two, for September. And again, that was August, too, when no student details were on the air.
Yeah.
So that's just some numbers. But in a couple weeks, or sorry, a couple days, or a week, or a week or two, something, there are going to be some newer numbers out. So.
So it's the new Arbitron system that we
use. But yet I've heard here that we are rated as one of the top 25 college radio stations, which I don't know through whom or by whom or what, but that seems to go against the selling of one of the top 25 college
radio stations. I can't give you a definitive answer on this, and I don't want to say anything that I think WRVU is a fantastic station, right, so it deserves any high ranking it gets. But those rankings of the top 25 are done in some peculiar way. I'm not sure what goes into that. It's not really a scientific. I'd have to get back to you about how that's done. You know? But there's no question WRVU is a great station. I mean, that's not an issue here. And this is not being done to punish WRVU or to say we don't think it's good. Michael?
I think it would be better kind of short.
So you still have some people to talk to, right?
Yeah, I'll take a 10-15 minute break.
I'm going to ask this. She's going to have one. Can I ask one more question? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm a trainee.
Yes.
And, I see there have been other stations, universities who sold their stations.
Yeah.
And have you looked at all into how that's changed, like, the community perception or anything with
Well, we've looked closely at what happened to Rice. I mean, Rice is a little different because they just announced it was a done deal. It's sold, and people are furious. They're furious they weren't consulted. The Rice thing just happened, so it's too. We don't know what's going to happen to the station.
What happened to other stations that didn't pass? Do you know anything about that?
Justin, you're some
I know Johns Hopkins Station's been going for more than a few years. I can't say anything for student participation on that. I can say, though, that the Rice thing, again, is basically a done deal that's probably going to be happening, and the station will be moving online. The board will be following that extremely closely, what's going on there, what mistakes they make, that if we can just move on and rectify. Really, that one will be the one to watch.
That's the closest I've
ever stations.
Yeah,
you in
it's
terms
very
of
similar
in
format.
History, moment in the community.
Yes.
It's bigger.
Yes. Their signal is kind of on the outskirts of town, but it's a long story. But they have a very powerful station, too, and they were in, they have a BSC, but they're in kind of a similar situation where the community is needed.
It's certainly an important point of comparison along the looking
this
at.
Is right.
Which is why this is open-ended, to see what goes on.
They're a clear channel, aren't they, 50,000?
Yeah,
it is 50,000 watts.
It is 50,000.
Yeah, I don't mean third channel. The
organization. No, 50,000 watts though. Yeah. Okay. Michael wants to for the rest of the time. You know, use the website. I mean, people are going to think we're not going to look at these things. We are, and so please do that. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I think there's a.
Those two guys right there are the most important in lobbying.
There's a lot we need to do, but I think we should probably take a break. Just take a 2 minute break just to kind of. We've been in there for an hour and a half. So, I'm.